So this is for the honor and glory to God. The song is How Great Thou Art, and God is so good. And I just hope that I can get through the song, because as I think about it and I think about just how great he is, and you know, going to heaven, it's just so beautiful. So pray for me.
Proclaim, my God, how great. Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. It's been a while since I've been up here speaking before the house of the Lord. This earlier, Pastor Mackey mentioned that he would like to speak to the Latino visitors and congregation here in Spanish, but he couldn't. I have his back. Esta mañana quiero darles la bienvenida. Quiero decirles que son bendecidos del Señor. Espero que este día, cuando salgan de aquí, que vaya Jesucristo caminando con ustedes. Que Dios les bendiga. Last May, Pastor Mackey came to me and asked me if I could bring a message to the church, being that it was going to be the 5th of May, or Cinco de Mayo. I declined, because it was only a week away, and it takes me a while to put things together. And my work, and I've been working in my house, and it just wasn't enough time. But then the helper that God created for me spoke up. And she said, well, there's always September, you know. God knows why he gave each one of us men a helper. Amen. We need it. I had every intention of speaking to you of the Mexican independence, which is 15th of September. Next Tuesday, Mexico will be celebrating their anniversary of the independence from Spain. But God took me in another direction, being that I had already spoken to you about Mexico independence a few years ago, and I didn't really want to repeat myself. I am not a Mexican from Mexico. Like I tell my children, I'm not a Mexican, I'm a Texan. But after hearing in the news what Donald Trump had to say about Mexicans, it bothered me. It bothered me because he said that all Mexicans that came were either rapists, thieves, or murderers. And the reason that it bothered me quite a bit was because my forefathers were from Mexico. My grandfather came from Mexico. And they were hard-working people. My grandfather, my father, my mother, I know because I work right alongside of them. Like a lot of other people that come from Mexico, they have come to work to have a better living for their families. Of course, there's people that come and they only come to see what they can get away with crime and stuff like this. But that's in every race. So that kind of bothered me for a while, and the more I thought about it, the more it ate at me. And it started bringing out some ugly feelings that I had long ago buried in the far corner of my mind. When I was a teenager, I was raised, well, I spent the last part of my teenage years in South Texas. Before that, we had been migrating between crops in Arizona, Nevada, Utah. And in them states, everybody was the same. We all went to school with blacks, Indians, whites, I mean, you name it, and there was no difference. But when I went back to South Texas as a teenager, I had a very rude awakening. I started remembering the things that were said to us by the white people. I started remembering all those times that we were kicked out of places, restaurants and other places, and was told that they didn't serve Mexicans. And it just kept eating away at me. But then I heard a little voice. I heard a little voice that some of you have often heard before. That little voice that you hear right here behind your ear. That said, what are you worrying for? You are worried about things that you cannot do anything about. He said, I have told you over and over that these things would happen, and worse things. So why don't you concentrate in your walk with Christ instead of worrying things that you cannot do nothing about? Leave them to me. I will handle them. And I started to realize that the things that I was worried about are really nothing compared to what really is going on in the world today. Yesterday, I don't know how many of you turned on your TV to see the anniversary of the attack on the Twin Towers. And I sat there and watched it for a while, and it still hurts. It still hurts to think that there's people out there that has so much hatred to go and just murder another human being. Along with this, there's many things that are happening around the world today that are signs that God has left for us to announce his soon returning. You know, there's been rumors of wars before, but not like today. People are dying by the thousands. People are migrating throughout the world where countries don't know how to put them up, what to do with them. The Pope is coming. What message does he have for the community? And through all this that is happening, all these signs that are out there, God told us to watch for the signs. I see people out there in the world not knowing what's coming. Just going about their business like another normal day. And what really hurts, what's really sad, it's us. We are going around like everyday business. We sometimes act no worse than those people that are out there trying to murder another human being. We in here should have so much love for each other as if we were truly blood brothers and sisters. We come from the same God. There is no difference. And it's sad when when people go around killing each other just because they're of a different race or a different religious belief. You know, God said that He was going to come back. And He said that He is building a new world. A new world where there will be no more hate. A new world where there will be no more pain. No more tears. In this world, He says that no unclean thing will enter into it. And what I find very interesting is a small little word that's there at the end of the verse. He says that no liars will enter into the city. A lot of us treat a lie, a little white lie, like nothing, but it's still a lie. And that little white lie will prevent you from entering into the city of God. God loves us so much. So much that He has been holding back from coming. He's holding back so that the ones that have not changed their way can repent and be saved. The Lord says that He is coming quickly. Amen. I was going to also elaborate on the things that are happening today. He said that knowledge would increase. Today you take one of these little childs here, and they know, I'm embarrassed to say, but they know more than me about the smartphone. And tomorrow, their children are going to know more than they do. I went to go get my car washed yesterday, and the attendant there, he asked me what I wanted, so I told him, give me number 2. So he gets his smartphone, and he's got a little thing here on the side, and the receipt comes up. He didn't even go to the cash register. He's got everything on him. That's increased in knowledge. These are all signs out there. Can we see them? How many of us can see them signs? God said that He was going to build a city, a new world. And I would like to have us turn to Revelation 21, chapter 27. Revelation 21, chapter 10, I'm sorry, 10 through 27. I would like for us to read together. Does everybody have their Bible with you? Please open it.
or your smartphone.
I would like us to read together that we can see the kind of city that our God is building for us. The kind of city that He's building for His children, for His people. The kind of city that we should be looking forward to occupy one of these days. And it's all up to each individual to make sure that that door will be open for you. Let us read together, starting on Revelation 21, starting on verse 10 through 27. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and his brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, and 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. He measured its wall, and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundation of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, I can't say that one, the first, emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, carnelian, the seventh, crystallite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like the transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the king of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night. The glory and the honor of the nation will be brought unto it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb Book of Life. Brothers and sisters, this is what we got looking forward to. Yeah. Yeah. June, could you please put the picture on the... Amen. Thank you. I am not a long sermon speaker, but I wanted to leave this imprinted in your minds. As you can see, there's a multitude of people there. If you let your imagination go, like I am letting mine go. I can see some illegal aliens in there.
Mercy.
And you know what? I can see some of your faces there. My family members are there. You know, Jesus is just waiting for each one of us to repent. To repent, and he is ready to forgive just anybody that comes and says, Lord, please forgive me. I know that you are the Son of God. Now, wait a minute. Way back there. Could that be? I see a man. No, it can't be. That's Donald Trump. God does forgive. In 2 Peter, verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but the day of the Lord will come. Will it find us ready? May the Lord be with you. God bless. Thank you.
Down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow streets, but the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating, there were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head, and he bore with every step the scorns of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. And he chose to walk that way out of his own for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Por la Via Dolorosa, triste día Jerusalén, los soldados le abren paso a Jesús, mas la gente se acercaba para ver a qué llevaba aquella cruz. Por la Via Dolorosa es la vía del dolor, como oveja vino Cristo, Rey y Señor, y fue él quien quiso ir por su amor, por ti, por mí. Por la Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made his way through the heart of Jerusalem. por la vía dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
Amen. Amen.